sustainability as far as environmentalism and social justice can encapsulate a lot of different lifestyles. But basically just being mindful as a consumer, as a productive citizen, leaving a positive impact as opposed to a detrimental imprint.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to the Sustainability Podcast, where we drink tea and talk about sustainable projects. I'm Tanner with the Office of Sustainability, and today I'm here with Vanity, who is the project lead for the Social Justice Coffee Hour. And today, we're going to answer the question, is sweet tea actually Southern? What do you think?
Well, in my opinion, I think sweet tea is almost as Southern as you can get. Being a Charlestonian, this was something that we had on Sunday dinners. You know, my great-grandfather, his wife would brew her own sweet tea. So I definitely think it's a Southern staple, definitely.
Do you think it originated from the South?
I could be extremely wrong, but I do think it did. But maybe it has something to do with the tea party in Boston. I don't know.
Not exactly.
No?
So it's kind of Southern.
Okay.
But it originated, we're going to talk about this, kind of from the North. So the reason I say that is because before ice was readily available, because you got to think it's really hot down south.
Extremely. Sweltering.
They really only had ice up north, so like during like warmer months, like they could have ice because they could preserve, they actually preserved it in sawdust, which sounds really gross. So at some point in the early 1800s, they started like shipping it more like down south and like across the world, so they were actually like preserving ice.
Okay.
And like shipping it around.
Oh.
So, and originally, because now sweet tea is usually, we use black tea.
Right.
But originally in the U.S., people drink green tea. So it was originally iced green tea that people were drinking.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Which definitely doesn't have the same robust flavor, I don't think.
Of course. So.
No.
So it wasn't until... So green tea was used, and then a lot of iced tea was actually used in alcoholic punches. It wasn't really something that people just drank by itself. And then people... Most people... credit the 1904 World's Fair as like the birthplace of sweet tea, but it kind of obviously started before that.
Okay.
But that's what made it really popular, like drinking iced tea, because before most people drink it hot.
Right.
And then in the 1920s, you know, they had prohibition, so people, instead of drinking alcoholic beverages, they drink a lot more iced tea. Yes, and that's also okay. Around the same time we got refrigerators. So it was more common for people to have ice in their house.
Right.
So people, even in the South, could have ice all year long, or at all.
We should be extremely thankful for that.
Oh, for sure. So, and then during World War II, that's when we started drinking more black tea instead of green tea, because obviously, like, China and Japan is where we got most of our green tea. So that's when we actually made that switch.
This is a lot of substantive info. I didn't
know. I
know.
And for a while, iced tea was kind of, you know, all across the country. And whether or not you sweetened it was kind of just like a personal choice.
Okay.
And then over time in the South, I guess it became more common to sweeten it while it was still hot and then serve it like always sweetened.
That's how I grew up doing
Same.
It was... After it was finished, like, steeping, like, freshly off the stove was when... Or you added some sugar as it was steeping.
A lot of sugar.
A lot. A whole lot. Like, you know, ridiculous amounts. And then you added to taste after it had cooled a little bit also.
Yeah. But actually, so the whole pre-sweetening wasn't something that was across all Southern states. So that kind of, like, over time became more of a common... practice. So like the idea of like sweet tea as we know it being in the South, it is mostly found in the South, but it's kind of a modern thing.
Okay
kind of,
you kind know.
Of it's all kind of like, they're not 100% sure like the history of it, but from what I
would
I found,
say there are some pretty bastardized versions out there in
relation
to what we
like
have.
If you
yeah.
if you go up north and you ask for sweet tea, they're going to hand you some sugar packets or some hot tea, and that's wrong. But
very.
But there's also, you know, like McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and Starbucks have like sweet tea, and that's
you
kind
mean
of
syrup.
Yes. Okay. So it's becoming more common across the country.
Okay.
So it's like kind of southern. It's like mostly southern.
Mostly. But which counts.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So fun fact for
the
day.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So now we're going to talk about you.
Okay. What would you like to know?
So many things. So what is your major at the college?
My major is political science, and I'm concentrating in public policy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why did you choose political science?
As a child, I wanted to be a judge. That was like my fairy tale career path when I was a child. As I grew older, I kind of grew a little distant away from regulating politics as opposed to changing them to reflect the current times. Okay. So being involved with grassroots initiatives has exposed me to what the policy process is and how to get things on the agenda and get legislation changed. So that's why I decided to concentrate in public policy.
Okay, so what kind of grassroots initiatives have you been involved in?
I've been involved with a Carolina Youth Action Project, also known as Girls Rock Charleston. Did some work with them. I did a lot of work with We Are Family, which is an LGBTQ advocacy organization based downtown. And we're actually doing work with the Riley Center of the College of Charleston to conduct the youth count, which is a mapping process to get numbers on food and housing insecure queer youth and students, primarily in the peninsula.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you've done a lot.
A whole lot. Right. I don't know when I sleep.
So what do you do at the office?
At the office here, mm-hmm. I am the lead intern for the Social Justice Coffee Hour. And our first coffee hour is going to be on the 28th of this month, February 28th. I believe it's from 3 to 4:45. And the topic is going to be on social and environmental mindfulness. We're going to have some guest speakers. One of my faves, actually, is Dr. Christy Bryan of the Women and Gender Studies and the Gender and Sexual Equity Center. And we're going to also have Carrie, who helped me put this together, and Dr. Jen Wright. And it's going to segue into the second Social Justice Coffee Hour, which will be primarily focused with destigmatizing HIV.
Oh, wow. So what happens at a Social Justice Coffee Hour? So what could someone expect if they're going for the first time?
Well, you can expect some pastries, maybe some donuts and some coffee, of course. But we're going to be talking about some pretty controversial topics. So one thing to expect at the first one would basically be a dialogue surrounding how we as individuals are mindful individuals and consumers and how we are sustainable in our own day-to-day living. And I'm going to let each of the panelists describe how they are mindful and sustainable in their day-to-day practices and within their academic focus areas.
Okay, so what is, according to you, what is sustainability?
Sustainability means, in my opinion, leaving as less of a harsh imprint on this world as possible, but still making amends the best way you can. And so sustainability, as far as environmentalism and social justice, can encapsulate a lot of different lifestyles. But basically just being mindful as a consumer, as a productive citizen, leaving a positive impact as opposed to a detrimental imprint.
Okay, so how have sustainable values affected your personal life?
Well, just today, I bought some chicken tenders from Caviar and Bananas, and so I had to figure out where I was going to throw my container because I'm trying to be more mindful of where I put my trash. Because I don't use spaces like the library to study. I use this office or the Women and Gender Studies office a lot, or I sit outside a lot, so I have to be mindful of where my garbage is being put.
Okay, so how do you think the world could benefit from sustainable values?
I think if we took the time to recognize the points of no return that we have already passed, as far as the ozone layer or our trash islands, I think it would be beneficial for us all to realize that we could improve in one aspect or another, how we conduct our lives, not only just, you know, throwing trash away, but what we intake, how we treat our bodies, you know, the longevity of our lives, how we can strengthen and lengthen that. I think we all have something that we can improve on, and I'm still growing, so definitely got lots more to go. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me as I take a sip of my tea.
Your sweet tea. Uh-huh. Your southern sweet tea. All right. And thanks so much for listening. We do new podcasts every Thursday, and you can find those at synergies.cfc.edu.